This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Now here's the change. Now Brunson's going to be taking the ball back. Out of bounds. Can he get it back? Little dribble handoff here. Towns, Brunson up for the lead.
No! Oh, man.
Timeout, Boston. Timeout, Boston. With time on the clock. But how much?
He could not have asked, if you're Jalen Brunson, for a better look. It was a fake dribble handoff. Brunson went back door, going to his strong hand, his strong way. Not a defender in sight. This has got to be a bucket. Oh, he is going to be kicking himself. What a look there by Brunson.
I thought the Knicks were done right there. Whew. I mean, that was the NBA Clutch Player of the Year as presented by Kia, and he couldn't get that to stick. Ugh.
Can't really ask for a better look.
I was going to say, and that was the formula for the Knicks. Knicks somehow, whatever it is, keep it close for 47 minutes, 47 and a half minutes, and then if Brunson has the ball late, maybe he can pull it off. And
yeah,
they
I
had a chance.
That was the exact formula how I thought the Knicks could take a game or two from the Celtics in this series. And look, that I was wrong about. I thought Brunson would come through in a spot like that, and I thought that's how the Celtics would lose. And I don't know, maybe you ended up losing the game either way. I guess I don't know what one's worse. Like, what would be more shocking? Brunson walking it off there, and, you know, would that leave more of a mark, or the way they lost in overtime? That's more frustrating.
I think
it's
way more frustrating to lose in overtime and be like, all right, all that bad second half aside, you're at home, 5 minutes, figure it out. Beat them for 5 minutes, and you win this game.
And the Knicks, I mean, on some level, tried to give you the game, right? Brunson didn't hit that shot. It gave you another chance at home in overtime. They missed a bazillion free throws last night. And it was a lot of Mitchell Robinson, which we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
I don't like that approach from Joe Mazzulla. I didn't like it in real time. He was 3-for-10 last night, but Hart stunk shooting free throws. Brunson missed a free throw in there, as did Anunoby. So it was really the full team. The Knicks were trying to give you one, and you still couldn't take it because you couldn't make a shot all night. Do you have any newfound respect for the Knicks? Like, a lot of us were talking about them going into the series. Even me, I gave them a couple of games, but I didn't think they had any chance. I called them a soft team. You know, we were mocking them and the matchup for most of it. We were mocking them against the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
And, like, one thing I'm starting to wonder, and let's see. I don't want to overreact to it after one game and then have the Celtics rip off 4 in a row and win it in 5.
Yeah.
But I am starting to wonder, the way we talked about the Knicks and the Pistons, we talked about it like the Pistons gagged it away.
Yes.
And in this game, the Celtics blew a 20-point lead. We're talking about it like the Celtics gagged it away.
Yeah.
Is there any newfound respect for the Knicks and their ability to dig in and pull out these games late? Like, should we give them credit for constantly, so far anyway, in this postseason, winning games like this?
Not yet. I'm not there yet. I can't do it yet. I think the Pistons clearly weren't ready for it. And as much as I like Cade Cunningham and thought he had an unbelievable season, you could tell he wasn't ready for that moment. The rest of the team wasn't ready for that moment. They'd play well when it was a little bit more free and easy, and then they would just choke down the stretch. This was a game where it's not like the Knicks played good defense on a lot of those missed threes. The Celtics, they had wide open looks, and they were just missing everything. So I still think that, you know, I mean, hell, I was wrong. I thought the Celtics were going to sweep them. So just based off of that, sure, I got to give the Knicks a little bit more credit than I had going in. But I also wouldn't rule out the Celtics still ripping off 4 straight wins. And then we look at it like, oh, they were down in the series, but they still won in 5. Like, I could still see that playing out.
So to your point, the Celtics took the NBA deems 4 tight free throws last night between 2 and 3 pointers, rather.
Yeah, yeah.
Between 2 and 4 feet. So they were 1-for-4 on those. They took 32 open, quote-unquote, three-pointers. That's 4 to 6 feet of space.
Okay.
They were 7 out of 32. That's 22%. In the regular season, they shot 35% on those. 6+ feet, wide open. They took 24 of them, made 7, 29%. In the regular season, they made 41%.
I mean, these are not hand-in-the-face threes. These are wide open.
And so I agree with you to a point. Like, on the Knicks, were they defending well last night? Not really. No. I mean, they forced some turnovers on Tatum. I don't want to say their defense was, you know, non-existent. I think they gave a little more, you know, they were a little more difficult to play against than we probably talked about going in, but they still gave up a million open looks. I wouldn't want Mazzulla or Stevens or anybody upstairs, Mike Zarin, to just shrug their shoulders and go, ah, well, we just missed some open shots and that's all we got to do and the shots will fall in game two and it's a make-miss league and blah, blah, blah. I would hate to for that to be their takeaway. Like, the Knicks kind of took it to them.
Yeah.
And the Knicks have some skill, and I wouldn't take it lightly and just chalk it up to, well, we just missed 45 threes. That'll never happen again, because that's a good way to lose the series.
That's true. Yeah. If you just want to change absolutely nothing. And, you know, Jalen Brunson, even though he missed the shot at the end there, he was so good in that fourth quarter and then was cold in overtime, and yet they had the other guys that were there to pick him up, right? So it wasn't just like the Jalen Brunson show, but he was so good in the fourth quarter. And the Celtics didn't really have an answer for it at that time. They are skilled, right? And, like, I think we all acknowledge that. Even the ones picking sweeps said, you know, the Magic have Paolo Banchero, who's a really good ascending player who might be in the top 25 in the league. Jalen Brunson might be a top 10 player, like top 15 player. Karl-Anthony Towns probably top 15, 20.
A better Isaiah. Right? Like when Isaiah was here, Isaiah made, I think, a second team All-NBA.
He did make one of those,
And like Brunson is a much better version, but like he's that level of player where he's probably not a first teamer, but you know, he's had a nice run now where he went to a Western Conference final in Dallas. He's done good things in New York. Like he's like a high level Isaiah.
And like their starting lineup is solid. Now those guys all have to play a ton of time. They're not very deep at all. I mean, Bridges played 51 minutes, I think, of the game.
I heard Scal talking about this after the game, though. Scal's like, well, yeah, he played 51 minutes, but the Celtics, they're all resting on defense because it's just around the perimeter jacking up threes. They're not making anybody work on defense.
Yeah, no, I think those guys can.
Are an easy 51 minutes was Scal's point.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's not even like, you know, Luka Doncic or LeBron James having to play 50 minutes. You know, one guy's 40, one guy might be a little out of shape. Like, these guys, those guys can do it for this series.
I mean, to play for
Thibs, you have to.
To play for him, you're conditioned to play 45 minutes
you're
a night.
You're used to it. You're used to it. That's one thing that has carried over with Thibodeau. These guys don't play defense like he probably wants them to, but they play the whole freaking game. So no, I mean, that it's like it's a solid starting five. You have some good high-end players, but it's just the way they play versus the way the Celtics play. I didn't think it would be very competitive.
No, and look,
so far I'm wrong.
I think the Knicks have a couple of players who defensively are atrocious. I mean, Towns period was just atrocious.
He
last
just
night.
Looks so goofy on defense, right? I mean, like he's a pretty good like offensive player. He could score. He grabs rebounds, but then on defense, he's just like always on roller skates.
And in that third quarter, he was like turning it over and forcing bad shots, and you know offensive fouls and all the like. The third quarter was brutal. So Towns had a bad night, and Brunson you could pick on defensively, but along with the Knicks and their ability to come through in the clutch, they did it against Detroit. They did it in Game One last night. I think you have to at least keep an eye out for that now and say maybe the Knicks are just good in these fourth quarter spots, clutch and late. I also think they do have some guys who have a little more edge to them than we probably gave it credit for. I highlighted Hart going in. I think you saw it with Ananobi last night. I was mildly impressed. I don't think he's worth 5 first-round picks or whatever they gave up, but I was mildly impressed with Bridges last night. I thought as the game went along, Bridges was better. So they probably have a little more edge than we gave them credit for team-wide, but they have two guys who are just sieves on defense.
Right, but they're two guys that score on offense, you know? Like so you have two guys that are going to usually, and I know Towns didn't shoot it very well, and, you know, OG and Anobi had the great offensive game, but more often than not, it's going to be Brunson and Towns on offense, and then try to make them not such a liability on defense.